I'm going to be at Side Lake on Thursday for my final program of the year. If you're in the Side Lake area and you'd like to join us, we take a little canoe trip every other Thursday evening, and our final one is coming up this Thursday.
Wow.
So
phenology by boat?
Yes, phenology from the water's edge or near the water's edge.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. Lots of things to check out. There are lots of things to check out outside, and many of you are checking them out and reporting them on our Season Watch page. That's kind of fun. Fun to see what's going on there. Some friends of mine over in the Wisconsin area got a chance to see a Blanding's turtle. Blanding's is not a common turtle in this area, and I think Scott Hall and I once rescued one on a highway down near the Mississippi River by Tromholt. Tromholt, is that the name of the town? Tromholt, yeah.
Tromholt? Yeah.
Sort of north of Crosby. Anyway, sort of a interesting turtle, a little bit bigger than a painted turtle, a higher dome of a carapace, that's the top shell, and a bright yellow plastron, so that's the bottom shell, and a really distinctive turtle, not at all common this far north, but every once in a while, you might get a chance to see one. You'll recognize it as not being a normal common turtle. The other thing that caught my eye on the phenology page, the Season Watch page, was the presence of flying ants. Oh. And a few people are... You just made an unusual face. What's the matter?
It sounds like a horror movie, actually, flying ants.
You know, they are absolutely so focused on... on getting out and mating that they don't pay much attention to people. I had taken over a class for Harry Hutchins one day, and we were in the Feely area a little bit east of Warba, and we were walking around in the woods, and there was this blown down birch tree, and the stump ball was literally covered in ants. I mean, there were... Well, I want to say 10,000. There were certainly more ants than you could count in an afternoon. There were a lot of ants. There wasn't space to see the dirt underneath. And all these students standing there, and I plunged my hand into this mass of ants. And they just sort of absorbed me and crawled over me and enveloped my hand. But I got bit not once. Uh-huh. You know, they weren't at all. I was just part of the structure on which they were standing. And we had two classes that day, and I came back in the afternoon, deliberately went back to that stump to show the ants to the kids that were in the class, and they were gone. And I wasn't at all surprised. So these ants, they belong to a family called Lasius. And these are relatives of those little ants that make the little dirt volcanoes. Mm-hmm. And this time of year, they sort of enlarge the opening there, and bang, they start coming out. They're much larger than the little ants that you see, the little worker ants that you see walking around on the ground. And they are primed for mating. The females and the males come out of the nest. They fly off. Some ants, I don't know about this particular ant, but some ants actually have a lek, a dancing area, a place where they meet and then fly around and find a mate. And the idea is to naturally find a mate from some other nest than your own and exchange some genetic material so that the new ants coming from this female will be more well adapted perhaps to the environment. At any rate, once the mating takes place, all of these little male ants with their wings and so forth are bird food. They are not going to be allowed back into any nest, any ant nest. They'll be refused entry, and they'll just become food for those critters that like to eat ants, and that's a pretty big group. I mean, it runs from bears all the way down to little tiny chickadees, so everybody likes an ant now and then. The females, once they've mated, will break off their wings. They'll reabsorb the muscles that were created to fly, and they will use that energy to excavate their first den, their only den, and then they will start laying eggs, and those eggs will hatch. The female, the queen, will tend those eggs until they hatch, and once that happens, then those ants will all assume duties within the colony, and the queen will become more or less a prisoner of the colony, and her job will be just to lay eggs. And all of the little sisters, because they're all females, they will all sort of work together and establish a pattern where some are defenders, some are explorers and food gatherers, some are tenders of the baby eggs and pupae and so forth. They all have their own jobs, and those jobs change periodically through their lives. So they might start off doing one thing and end up doing another before they're done. But ants are really fascinating, and this is a good time of year to check them out. These little winged ants, they're going to look like, well, they're going to look a little bit like an unusual fly. But when you look at them, if you sort of disregard the wings, you'll see that they're three body parts, much like every other ant you've ever looked at. So check them out. This is the time of year. The ones that come out now are the common name for them is Labor Day ants, because we're getting close to Labor Day, and this is the time of year when they will appear. So,
hey, John, I'm looking at these cool photos on Season Watch. Did you see the milkweed pods?
Yes. Yeah. Their milkweed pods are gorgeous right now. And somebody has very carefully opened one up, and you can see that the seeds are starting to, well, they're red in the picture.
Yeah.
They'll be kind of coffee brown when they get ripe. Now, the milkweed is an interesting flower because it's very hard to pollinate. The pollen is actually in a little cluster, and there are two of these little clusters. Think of like little saddlebags with a connecting wire in between. Think of it maybe, I like to think of it as sort of a bobby pin, because it's kind of a tight little wiry structure. And the insect lands on the milkweed, and its leg gets down in between that bobby pin. And then it has to rip its leg out of the bobby pin. And when it does that, it carries away two little sacks of pollen. But as you look at milkweed, you'll see that there are 20 to 30 flowers on the head of a milkweed. But you only get maybe two, maybe three pods out of those 20 to 30 flowers. So pollination is kind of difficult. But if you get one pod, you're going to get several hundred seeds. And for those of you that want to get milkweed growing in your property, maybe you don't have it yet, and you want to grow some to attract the monarchs, what you do is you, along about the 1st of October, go out and grab the pods off of the plants. Now, they won't be open yet, but that's okay. The seeds will be fully developed and ready to go. And if you take them out and break those pods open and kick those seeds into some ground, you don't even have to do much more than just kick away the surface dirt and grass and drop the seeds there, and they should grow just fine.